Hello, everybody, and welcome back. This podcast and the following five are going to be over the period. So each one is going to be based on a period. So this podcast is going to be period one of your review packet. And I'm just going to go through it. I'm just going to speak it. I might go into a little explanation depending, but I'm just going to give you what you may need, or if you want to add something to your packet, or if, like I said, in class you couldn't find something, like after exhausting all your resources and your effort and your brain power, then go ahead and fill in this extra. So let's go ahead and start. Beginning with key concept 1.1, big geography and the people of the earth. Section 1, archaeological evidence indicates that during the Paleolithic era, hunting foraging bands of humans gradually migrated from their origin in East Africa to Eurasia, Australia, and the Americas, adapting their technology and cultures to new climate regions. A. What diverse and sophisticated tools were developed by humans to adapt to their new environment? Use fire as one example. Tool 1. Fire. Fires were basically set to encourage growth in particular regions. So for adapting to new environments, they would use fire either to clear land or as a method of clearing land, or in the earliest uses were for heat, as a heat source for cooking, just for the basic needs of survival, heating, cooking, staying warm, that type of stuff. The second one is stone tools. These were struck from larger stones. They were either mounted to antler, bone, or wood, and they were used to help in hunting, in gathering, in preparing the meat or preparing the carcasses of the animals, as well as for defense or protection. B. Provide examples of how early small groups organized themselves. Political organization. So there was no formal positions of power. Men and women were freer of human tyranny and oppression than they would be later on once society is organized. It was an egalitarian society, meaning everybody was equal. There was no one person who was had more power than another. Social organization of early humans was based on relationships. So relationships were far equal than in later societies. Women's primary job was food gatherers, providing bulk of the substance. So the gathering of food, seeds, berries, fruits, things like that, made up a large portion of the diet. Most marriages were monogamous. They lived in small nomadic bands, and the rules and organizations were intact to organize them as their group. So goods, behavior, and economics were all kind of, it was like just known what you can and cannot do. It was like unspoken. Not like a written code, like an unspoken code amongst the group. Examples of cultural exchange. These would be interactions between people, would often lead to massacre, interbreeding, so that's like marriage and offspring, competition between groups. So that is our cultural exchange. In addition to this, we also see the diffusion and hybridization of religion, traditions, languages, and just anything that's cultural to that little group spreading to other groups or becoming a hybrid version of it. Examples of economic exchange. So due to not having the luxury to be able to carry a lot of possessions, because these were nomadic people, they weren't going to have a lot of objects to carry. They would exchange their things, and it was predominantly like a bartering system for food and skins and things to subsist on, rather than necessarily actual items like jewelry or things like that. Key concept 1.2, the Neolithic Revolution and early agricultural societies. 1. Beginning about 10,000 years ago, the Neolithic Revolution led to the development of more complex economic and social systems. A. Label the following permanent settlements, agricultural settlements on the map below. Mesopotamia, Nile River Valley, Sub-Saharan Africa, Indus River, Yellow River, Papua New Guinea, Mesoamerica. So this one, if you looked on a map, you just need to go and at least be able to place a marker. This is where it's at. This is the region that was these early civilizations. B. From the settlements listed above, identify a locally available plant or animal that was domesticated. So there's a lot of options. Mesopotamia is barley, lentils, peas, wheat, flax, cattle, dogs, donkey, goats, pigs, and sheep. Nile River Valley was finger millet, it's a type of grain, peanuts, sesame, sorghum, teff, and cattle. Sub-Saharan Africa is just cattle. Indus River Valley, barley, lentils, peas, wheat, flax, cattle, dog, donkey, goat, pig, and sheep. They're very similar to Mesopotamia. Yellow River Valley, millet rice, soybeans, silkworms, and pigs. Papua New Guinea, banana, sugarcane, taro, and yam. So taro and yam are kind of like, taro is like a type of potato. It's a root vegetable. Mesoamerica, avocados, beans, gourds, which is like squash, maize, sunflowers, tomatoes, cotton, sweet potatoes, and turkey. Andes, beans, chili peppers, gourds, manioc, potato, quinoa, alpaca, guinea pig, and llama. Define pastoralism. So pastoralism was a method of survival or a method of husbandry, animal husbandry, that depended heavily on their herds of domesticated animals and by frequently moving to secure productive pasture lands for those animals. So they're it's a nomadic lifestyle that you're moving along with your herds to feed them. D, explain two methods of water control and or land clearing methods used during this period. One is irrigation, so the creation of ditches that would pull water from rivers to supply the fields, and the slash and burn method, which is burning forests or fields to clear them for crops, to reinstitute minerals into the soil to make it more productive. Two, agriculture and pastoralism begin to transform human societies. A, explain how agricultural revolution led to the following. So the food surpluses, or the food surplus, the agricultural led to a food surplus by the increase in the use of the soil. So the increase of actually producing food led to a food surplus. So the ability of land, the ability of knowledge on how to plant increased the surplus. How did labor specialization occur? Well, due to the food surpluses, that would lead to the need for work variation. So now we don't all have to be farmers. Other people can pursue other things. So the development of the elites came by the increasing population requiring the need for organization and social structures. So the need for protection, the need for a political social organization. Who's going to be the leader? Who's going to tell us what to do and when we're going to do it and how we're going to do it? B, identify and explain three technological innovations that led to the improvements in agricultural production, trade, and transportation. So innovation one, the plow. It would help to increase the yield of crops and gave a better chance at crop success. The wheel, ability to transport goods faster and more efficiently. The sailboat would increase man's ability to travel and trade long distances and discover new markets on the oceans. C, explain how patriarchal society organization developed in both pastoralist and agrarian societies. So agrarian societies, we see the rise of the patriarchy when men took over the position as food providers and women took a subservient role in the home. So remember, now they have to push the plow. The plow is heavy. Men are now having to take on the role of the hard, labor-intensive work of plowing the fields, harvesting the fields. And women would be at home preparing food, taking care of the home. Pastoralists, women would retain relative equality to men due to their importance in society based on their duties in the community. So it would develop, but they have more freedom than the agrarian societies, women do. Okay, moving on. Let me turn my page. Key concept 1.3, the development and interactions of early agricultural, pastoral, and urban societies. One, identify the core and foundational civilizations that developed in diverse geographic and environmental settings. So the core foundational civilization on the Tigris and Euphrates River was Mesopotamia. And the foundational civilizations would be like Sumeria, Babylonia, Assyria, all these cities that came out from Mesopotamia. Nile River was the Egyptian civilization, and one that would branch out would be the Nubians. The Indus Valley is the Harappan civilization. And then you could put Mohenjo-Daro as one of the major cities there. Yellow River, we do see the development of the Shang and the Zhou. So it's XIA dynasty and then the ZHOU dynasty. Mesopotamia, you have the Olmec, Maya, and Teotihuacan civilizations that come out and cities that come out. the Andes, you have Norte Chico, you have the Chavín, the Mochi, the Wari, the Tiwanaku, and the Inca will all be the core and foundational civilizations that come out. Two, the first states emerged within core civilizations in Mesopotamia and the Nile River Valley. A, for the civilizations listed below, explain how their rulers claimed divine connections to justify their power. So China, the Zhai and the Shang, what would you call it? I have it in my head. Oh, I forget. They are dependent. Okay, so I don't know. Depended on the mandate of heaven. And the mandate of heaven was where the emperor could govern so long as they maintained social harmony among the people. The emperor is the intermediary between the people and the divine. The Egyptian civilization, the pharaoh embodied all major qualities of the major gods of Egypt. So he is divine in himself. As being pharaoh, he is divine. He is like a god on earth, basically. Mesopotamia or Sumer, were seen as stewards of the city's patron gods. The symbols of the king, the crown, scepter, and mace were seen as divine. So he was again like a servant to the gods. He spoke to the gods spoke through him. Select two civilizations from above and explain the role of slavery as means to mobilize surplus labor and resources over a large area. So the two I picked were Mesopotamia and Egypt. So Mesopotamia, female slaves would be captured in war. They would work in large-scale semi-industrial weaving industries or enterprises. Males helped to maintain irrigation canals and construct ziggurats. They could also be used in in like big houses, but under a punitive agreement. In Egypt, they were gained through warfare. They would be used for sacrifices, used as servants in palaces, as entertainment, and as servants. Select two civilizations and explain how rulers organized and deployed their militaries to create powerful new states. So Mesopotamia, you had the Akkadians, the Babylonians, and the Assyrians. They all took advantage of the weakness of the Sumerians and created a larger territorial scale. And they did this by invasion, and they did this by constant barraging of warfare. Egyptians would use their military to oppress the peoples to the south, specifically in Nubia, and intimidate their enemies to submit. Another way they deployed their military was through kidnapping of children from their rivals and kind of assimilating them to Egyptian society. B. Select one civilization and explain how geographic location made the favorable situation in relation to the categories listed. You could have picked any one. I did Egypt, and Egypt, the civilization was created along the Nile River, and with its fertile soil and abundant plants and animals for food, that was its access to natural resources. The food surpluses were due to the fertile soil and the proximity to a water source. Population growth resulted from the food surplus that derived from the availability of water and natural resources. And territorial expansion, the Sahara Desert made it hard for them to expand outside of the Nile. So C, identify and explain two examples of how pastoralists transformed warfare against agrarian civilizations through the development and dissemination of new weapons and modes of transportation. So the weapons they had were compound bows, iron weapons, and the mode of transportations were chariots and horseback riding and horses. 3. Culture played a significant role in unifying states through law, language, literature, religion, myths, and monumental art. A. Complete the grids below as examples of monumental art and urban planning amongst early civilizations. So the first one is the ziggurat. It came from Mesopotamia, or you can put Iraq. It was approximately created about 2100 BCE, and its purpose is religious temple. The second are pyramids, created in Egypt, approximately 2630 BCE. Its purpose was as burial chambers for pharaohs. The next one is the Terracotta Army under the Zhou Dynasty, under Emperor Shi Huangdi, approximately 210 BCE, and they were used to protect the king, or protect, not the king, protect the emperor in the afterlife. The next one is a city map of Mohenjo-Daro, and was created by the Harappan civilization about 2500 BCE, and its purpose is a map of the city to show their grid-like setup. The last one is giant heads, They're created by the Olmec civilization in Mesoamerica. It's approximately 2000 BCE, and it's thought to represent rulers. So it's like an artistic monument to rulers. B, complete the grid as examples of systems of record keeping that arose amongst early civilizations. The first are hieroglyphics. The Egyptians created it, and it's a series of signs that denotes words and consonants. The second writing system is cuneiform. It was created by the Sumerians. And unique characteristics are its wedge-shaped symbols representing objects, ideas, sounds, and syllables. The last one, the writing system, are oracle bones. They would be symbols or things drawn on animal bones. It was created by China. And unique characteristics are that it is complete pictographs, no phonetic meaning. C. Explain how the Code of Hammurabi was an example of a developed legal code that reflected existing hierarchies and facilitated the rule of governments over people. The Code of Hammurabi was the first legal code for law and order, basically whose punishments were determined by one's social status. Remember, the wealthy were fined or given like a slap on the wrist, while the poor were physically punished. This allowed for the rule of the government to solidify the power through social class and social distinctions. Section D, complete the grid below to identify how new religious beliefs developed during this period and continue to have strong influences in later periods. So we have three. We have the Vedic religions, the Hebrew monotheism, and Zoroastrianism. So for the Vedic, I'm just going to go straight down. So the Vedic is polytheistic. Its relative location is the Indus Valley or India. The approximate founding is between 2000 to 1200 BCE. The religious texts are the Vedas. The key gods are Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. Remember, our three main gods, creator, destroyer, preserver of life and of the earth, of the world. The key figures or prophets, there are no key figures or prophets in the Vedic religions. And the moral philosophies are your karma and your dharma. Your karma are your either positive or negative actions, and your dharma are your duties or the deeds you need to perform. Hebrew monotheism. Well, we know it's monotheistic, one god. Relative location, Mesopotamia, Middle East region. Approximate founding is 2000 BCE. The religious text is the Torah. The key god is Yahweh. It's just the Hebrew word for God. Key figures or prophets are Abraham, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Moses, and Noah. And the moral philosophy is the Ten Commandments given to Moses by God at Mount Sinai after the Exodus. The last one is Zoroastrianism. It is polytheistic. It developed in Mesopotamia, Persia region about 700 BCE. The religious text is the Avesta, which is A-V-E-S-T-A. The key gods are Ahura and Mazda. Yes, like Mazda, like the car Mazda. Key figures or prophets. The key prophet is Zoroaster. And the moral philosophy is the Humata, the Hukata, and the Horashta. So Humata is H-U-M-A-T-A. Hukata is H-U-K-H-T-A, and Hurshta is H-U-A-R-S-H-T-A. Section E, select one of the trade regions or trade routes listed and complete the grid below to explain how trade expanded through this period from local to regional to interregional with civilization exchanging goods, cultural ideas, and technology. So I picked trade between Mesopotamia and Egypt. So goods, ideas, and or technology sent, the idea of flax, oil, grains, clothes, ideas in weapon development, weapon technology, societal structures, and that's pretty much it. Religion, kind of the polytheistic ideas spread as well. Goods and ideas received back. So the first one was Mesopotamian goods sent, and now what they got back from the Egyptians were gold, papyrus, linen, grain, ebony, and ivory. Select two civilizations from above and explain how social hierarchies developed as states expanded and cities multiplied. So in Mesopotamia, we have at the top priests who were the top of society, then your kings, then your merchants, then your artisans, and then your farmers. These would develop as The patriarchy increased as encroachment and invasions increased. They wanted more control, more organization, so they put the power of the individual people into the hands of a leader or their religion. China, we had the emperor, the administrators, farmers, then merchants. So the social hierarchies developed again as a way to solidify power or as a way to protect the people. A lot of these times people are fighting, you're in bands, you're in small cities, they're fighting each other. So the need for social organization and social structure is key. And it's the same for all the regions at this point. They create social structures and social classes in order to run society more smoothly. So select two civilizations and explain how patriarchy intensified as states expanded and cities multiplied. In China, women were to be in the home. They were seen as mothers, wives, to be subservient. Because they aren't doing the hard labor-intensive jobs, they need to be at home. They need to be subservient. They need to listen to men. And as power expanded, women's rights in China decreased. And they wouldn't gain many rights and privileges until communism shows up. Indus. One example of social hierarchy is the caste system in India. And the levels of the caste from the highest to lowest, you have the Brahmin, you have the Kshatriya, the Vaishya, and the Shudra, and then you have your untouchables, or your Dulits, and they are the ones, you know, at the very lower caste. This would just further increase the patriarchy, because they know best, they know the different divisions. Women, similar to China, are going to not have many rights in the Indus Valley. And once Hinduism continues to expand and the country's territory continues to increase, we see women in India also losing a lot more power. So the two civilizations of women who do have rights and power and privileges are Egypt and Mesopotamia. China and the Indus Valley, not so much. Then you have your key vocabulary here. Just kind of be able to know what these are, know the meaning of them. You have civilization, culture, Paleolithic era. Remember, Paleo is old stone age. Neolithic is new stone age. Sumer, city-state, Hammurabi, Babylon, Ziggurat, cuneiform, Pharaoh, Papyrus, Harappa, Mohenjo-Daro, ideology, Cyrus the Great. He's a Persian king. The Royal Road, what Mandate of Heaven is, nomads, Hittites, Hatshepsut, Akhenaten, Ramesses II, Ashurbanipal, Israel, Hebrew Bible, Phoenicians, Polynesian, and micro-societies. So if you kind of have a gist of what those are, if you just want to take notes next to them, you don't have to. But if you want to take notes, kind of give you like a couple words of what each one means to help you remember, then that's good. So this is the end of period one. You need to make sure you fill in all your areas. And that you have your packet done. Remember, in combination, have those in review sheets as well as the timeline or the time grid that I gave you, and keep it all in your folder, okay? Because this is what you're going to use to review. So you guys have a great day, and I'll see you next time. Bye.